She started out as the youngest guest editor of 17 Magazine, which led her to reporting for network television. At 22, she became the country's youngest television station manager. Galan founded her own company, Galan Entertainment, in 1994, which helped launch over 10 television channels abroad and produced over 700 television shows in English and Spanish, including the hit reality series The Swan for Fox Network, which was famously spoofed on Saturday Night Live. Galan became the first Latina president of a U.S. network, Telemundo. She then was a celebrity apprentice.
Television executive and Latina media tycoon, Nelly Galan.
What's the Spanish word for expert?
Empresario.
I love that word.
Empresario.
Nelly's a leader.
I live in the world of Latinos, in the world of successful women. And somebody has to do it.
Galan has since started the Adelante movement to unite and empower Latinas economically and entrepreneurially.
I decided I'm going to start a movement for Latinas, and it's called the Adelante movement, because Adelante means move it, move forward.
The media and the U.S. government took notice.
Tiene darte las herramientas necesarias para que puedas alcanzar lo que tanto soñaste.
My charity is for women entrepreneurs.
Here with us now, Emmy Award-winning producer Nelly Galan.
I wanted to say to American companies, if you're not looking for Latinas in your corporation, you're missing the boat.
Our goal is to train as many Latinas as we can.
Well, you could see her excitement.
I'm excited. Adelante.
Thank you for teaching me a new word, Adelante. I will definitely work that into my, daily vocabulary.
We're now going to go to our next panel, which is going to be led by Nelly Galan.
If women in general are given the tools, America's best days are truly ahead.
You are so positive, and you give people this incredible feeling that they can do and be anything.
Right.
But I love
your slogan.
Around.
You know what her slogan is? Don't buy shoes, buy buildings.
Nelly has done it all. She is an inspiring entrepreneur.
And now Nelly has a new book out, Self-Made, about entrepreneurship for all women.
The new goal is to become self-made. Let me show you how. Now, here, go. Adelante.
Hey, ladies, I'm so happy to be here with you. Hold on, let me turn this puppy off. I'm not very technically inclined, just let me tell you. All TV producers don't even know how to play videos. It's really true. I've gotten so much energy from all of you here today that I'm just thrilled to be with you. And I want to start by just saying, because I think I was so moved. Earlier I went to the workshop on retiring. Was anybody there? Amazing, right? Like about how you have to have money before you reach old age and how women don't think about it. You know, I decided to help Latinas in my own community, which in turn, I've been on the road for 4 years doing events, and I was blessed because African-American sisters showed up, Asian sisters showed up, Indian-American sisters, Middle Eastern women, my white women sisters, because I realized no one's teaching us this stuff. And from all those 4 years on the road, meeting all of you, starting with my own community, the book came out Self-Made, because I realized no one was telling us the truth. And the truth is that in order for me at still a young age to do everything that I've done and I'm doing, I had to make, my other sister over here, I had to make money first. Because all of us go, all of us women want to save the world. We want to take care of the world. And then we're not taking care of ourselves and we walk around like wounded healers. And so I want to tell you, how did that happen? How did that girl become that girl coming from immigration, which the last week of my life has been very traumatic, because I really understand, understood my parents and what it was to come into this country, that from one day to another, there was an election in Cuba and we had a communist regime and we had to move, and why people are feeling scared and afraid. And we have to acknowledge that. whether it's true or whether it's, you know, trauma from a lot of people's background, we have to acknowledge people's scariness whenever there's a change in government. And I'll tell you what happened to me, because like so many of us women, this is why I feel like the answer, I loved what Amal Clooney just said, because the answer is with us. And we are not really watching each other's back as much as we have to, because we don't realize we're all we've got. For me, it all began, I mean, here I am, this little kid with these immigrant parents that don't speak English, that at 30 some years of age had to start all over again, that were traumatized, and I became the parent. I became their everything. I became their therapist, their preacher, their, you know, translator. And in the seventh grade, my parents sent me to all-girl Catholic school because they thought I was smart and they were trying to help me out, but they couldn't afford it. And like all kids that have parents that are dysfunctional in one way or another, you're overhearing their conversations all the time because you want to save them. And in that night that I started hearing them, I would hear my mother say, ¿Qué vamos a hacer? No podemos pagar la escuela. What are we going to do? We can't pay for the school. And I was freaking out, like, you know, my heart, oh my God, the nun's going to kick me out of the school. And my dad would say, don't worry, Jesus will help us. And I go, that nun is not going to care when she calls me into the office. And there was a lady down the street, an American lady, who was selling Avon. And she would say to me, honey, why don't you sell some Avon and we'll give you some free lipstick. And I go, I got to go cut a better deal with that old lady. And I'd watched on TV somebody cut a deal, and I went up to her and I said, listen, I really want to sell Avon, but it's got to be a better deal, 50-50. I mean, can you imagine? You're in the seventh grade. You heard it on TV. And she's like, okay. And the first week I sold Avon, I made $200. Immigrants are good salespeople. And by the fourth week, I had made $800, and I could pay down my tuition. But then I had problem number two, my dad, macho guy. And I'm like, my dad is not going to allow his 12-year-old daughter to pay for school. So I had to go to the principal, and I had to say, por favor, send home a letter, because my dad, whatever. So she gives me a letter. And when I bring it home and I show it to my mom, she goes, ¿Qué dice la carta? What does it say? And my father goes, oh, my God, your daughter is a genius, and Jesus helped us after all. And I think that story says it all. That's the life you live, taking care of other people, putting them before you. And guess what? We're really good at it, and we solve problems. A number of years later, I had the second sort of traumatic thing happen. I was working in, you heard that I was the youngest teenage station manager. That's a whole other traumatic story. But I got into 17 magazine early because I was writing articles. I wrote an article to school for school about why you should never send your kid to all-girl Catholic school. They almost expelled me for that one. I sent it to 17 magazine and I got this internship, which changed my life. My mother was like, no, you don't go to that internship. I go, I'm going to go or I'm going to escape. I'd always have to threaten her. And then I'd, because Latino parents don't want you to go anywhere. So through that, I ended up working at CBS as a young person, like an intern. I always say, I know you can all do this if I did all this, because I'm not J-Lo or Beyonce. I was an intern and I worked my way up. And I get a call to go interview somebody. You know, like I'm working at CBS, like a low-level position, intern, like a, you know. And they're like, go do an interview of some famous guy. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go. And I interview this old guy who was a big producer in Hollywood. And he's like, what? You have a New York accent. Are you Jewish? What are you? And I go, I'm Cuban. And he's like, well, my partner and I just bought a little rinky-dinky station that's supposed to be Spanish. I don't even, TV station. And he's like, you really should come and work for us. And I thought to myself, and I even said to the guy, I go, why would I want to go to a rinky-dinky Spanish station when I'm at CBS? Because, you know, when you grow up, sometimes as a person of color, you have shame around that. You want to be on The View. You want to be on ABC. And the guy says to me, young lady, don't you know that the Latino market is going to be the hugest thing in the world? And you're Latina and you speak Spanish and you're not using that? You're going to be the number one employee of something that's going to be huge and you're going to make $1 zillion. And I was like, well, I guess this guy knows more than I do because he looks pretty rich to me. And I made the best decision I ever made in my life. I don't know what. Somebody up there was guiding me, and I quit CBS, and I went to run the Rinky Dink. And when I tell you Rinky Dinky, is anybody here from Newark, New Jersey? So it was Newark before Newark was gentrified. So I had to. They had a bodyguard to walk into the building, and there were three engineers and me. And I killed myself, and I worked like all of us work, 24 hours a day, like it was my business. And I never saw them because I was like the rinky-dinky business, and they had 20 other glamorous businesses. And one day I walk into work 3 years later, I was 25 years old, and the lawyer for the owner comes in and says, I have good news for you, we just sold the company. I go, what? Yeah, we sold it for $75 million. I have to show you the math so that you understand what it meant. They bought it for $5 million in bankruptcy. It was like a rinky-dinky station that went under. In order to sell it for $75 million, I had to profit $7.5 million a year. So little me that didn't know what I was doing was profiting $7.5 million a year. Now, don't even think that I thought of that at that moment. I was just mad because I felt like this guy had taken this baby away from me. So I call up my boss, and he was in New York City, and I said, I'm gonna come and see you. And I go in to see him, and I do everything that they tell you in books never to do in business. I'm bawling. Oh my God, how could you do this to me? This is my baby. I'm hysterical. And he's like, stop. Like he's freaking out. He goes, young lady, those are my chips. If you wanna play, if you think you have it in you to be an entrepreneur, go get your own chips. And I'm like, what an asshole. And I go home and I cry and I mourn like we all do when we fall. It's just so painful for myself and to see other women fall because we know what it's like. You almost, you know, when I saw Hillary Clinton lose the other day, it's almost like I was losing again. We just, in our bodies, feel it. And so I cried and cried and cried, and then the next day I said, maybe this guy's doing me a favor. Maybe I'm not thinking big enough. Maybe he's really telling me that he thinks I can be an entrepreneur. And so, just so you know that he's not really that bad of a guy, he ended up giving me $250,000 and a car, which I cashed out. I was living in a $3,000 a month apartment in New York. And I moved to a $300 apartment in the East Village. Why? Because the few times I hung out with him, he said, when I was your age, I started a business. I lowered my overhead. So I go, okay, I'm going to start a business. I'm never going to work for anyone again. And I'm going to lower my overhead. But I have to tell you, because so many women start businesses and give up, that for 4 years, I did not make a penny. I did not know what I was doing. I was bootstrapping this thing by myself. I did not ask anyone else for help. And my parents were freaking out. And my mother and father were like, por favor, find a husband. You're going to lose your look. It's passing. The moment is passing. My friends, you know, now we sit here in a conference where it's really cool to be an entrepreneur. When I was doing it, it was like, all my friends were like, are you insane? Why can't you just get a job? I mean, do you have delusions of grandeur or what? I mean, not one person told me to do what I was doing. And I would have fights with God. Dear God, I'm a good girl. Why can't you throw me a bone? Please send me a sign. Do something. I mean, please don't make me fail in front of my family like this. I can never do anything again. But I did not give up. I did not give up. And in the fourth year, after I prayed a lot, I did get a letter in the mail. And the letter was from my local chamber of commerce. And I'm like, what's a chamber of commerce? I didn't even know. And for those of young women that are in the room that don't know, it's really where, it's like this. It's where people in business in different towns connect. And so it had like, it was like a mixer. Come to a thing for entrepreneurs in this chamber of commerce. And I was so desperate that I went. And when I went, the first night I went, it's just like a room like this. I went, oops. I blew it. No wonder I haven't done it. I figured out very quickly that there was issues with my business plan. And so business is not something that is linear. You sometimes have to pivot. You sometimes have to change. You realize, oh my God, I blew it. I thought this was right, but I didn't. But what's the lesson for me? I was not connecting with other women. I was not connecting with other entrepreneurs. I was not connecting with an organization that very quickly helped me out. What I want to tell you is just a couple of months after that first time, I then got it. I got it. And I joined every organization that could help me. I asked for help. I did it. And within less than 6 months from that day, I had my first contract. And it was a multi-million dollar contract because my idea was right, but there were little stupid things that I had to tweak. Like, for instance, I was trying to do content in the US and the market wasn't ready yet, but I could do it in Latin America. You saw that I spent a lot of time in Latin America. So the minute I switched to Latin America, I got on a plane and I had a lot of business. I started this business that went really, really well. And ultimately, one of my clients, which was Sony Pictures, which I think is like the way life is. That's why we do have to have faith, because the dots of our lives start connecting. And it's hard because it takes longer than you think. And you keep waiting and you go, it's not going to happen. It's like a test, but they do connect. One of my clients out of nowhere decides to buy a network now that is in bankruptcy. So remember my original little station? It was bought by an insurance company that then bought 15 other stations. They were going to turn it into a network, but the owner got a brain aneurysm and died. And when he died, the kids didn't want the business. He had many other businesses, and it went into bankruptcy. Second bankruptcy, same company. And now it was a network called Telemundo, and it was in bankruptcy. And Sony, who were my client, decided to buy it, and they call me up and they say, we would like you to come back to the United States and run this network. Why? Because I was the only Latina that they knew. Sometimes we're the token. I was the only Latina that they knew that had handled their money and had not lost their money in their foreign business. So it ended up being the first hurrah of my life because I sold that first company to them. And I really was tired as an entrepreneur. We get tired. And I was like, yay, I get to go get a job again and an expense account. I really need a break from this entrepreneur thing. And imagine me in Latin America running a business with all the Latin men putting the moves and me having to go, you know, like trying to be like monastic, like a nun. So they'd leave me alone. So I was dying to come home. But then I went to work for a corporation again. And I did take the lesson that once you're inside a corporation, which is why I think it's important not to leave your jobs, do this entrepreneur thing as a side hustle first. Because there's a lot we can learn from corporations. The entire time I was there, I was like, I'm going to make believe this network is mine. Would I be spending the money on this? Would I be hiring people this way? And I lived as if it was my business. And we were so successful so quickly that they sold the company in 4 years to Comcast and NBC. And when we sold it to Comcast and NBC, the original business plan I had from 10 years before, which was to make TV shows about people of color in this country. I'm really Latina Tyler Perry, by the way. FYI. I was able to start business number two. 10 years later. So that tells you. Sometimes your idea is right, but the timing of it is wrong. And so here's what happens. I'm going to get to Donald Trump and The Apprentice. And if you guys are good and pay attention, you can ask me anything you want later. So I'm doing all my work behind the scenes, doing my work, and I get a call one day from NBC. Listen, Donald Trump is starting a new show, and we need you to be on it. And it's called Celebrity Apprentice. And I go, so you know how we are, us women, that even if you've accomplished a lot, you diminish yourself. The negative voice comes in that says, oh, you don't really, oh, that's not for you. Who do you think you are? Negative, negative, negative. So the first thing I thought is, why are they calling me? I'm not a celebrity. And I said it. I blurted it out. Big mistake. Don't ever do that. And the guy says to me, I go, well, why are you calling me? I'm not a celebrity. And he goes, why don't you just say thank you for millions of dollars of publicity for your personal brand? And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. You're right. And the reason they wanted me on the show, even though I wasn't like the classic celebrity of the other people, is because that show cast it very diverse. And they were really thinking that at the time, Donald Trump had a lot of issues with the Latino community. I guess it never went away. And that they thought that if they put an actress on the show, that he would squish them like a bug. Like he'd yell at them once and, you know, they would cry. And they're like, you've worked for far more difficult people than Donald Trump. And I thought, he's right. I've had yellers up the kazoo. And so I've had to learn. I've worked for 6 billionaires as clients. And so I had to put them in their place a lot. Because if not, they wouldn't respect me. So I went on the show. And the first day of the show, Donald Trump yells at me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but my husband doesn't talk to me that way. My father doesn't talk to me that way. And neither do you. Goodbye. And I walk out. And he loved it. Because what people don't get is that he loves to argue. If you argue back with him, he loves it. So instead of kicking me off the show, they kept me on the show and kept me on the show and kept me on the show. I left at the very end of the season. I come home, the show goes on the air, and I was not prepared for what happened. I got so many letters from women saying, who are you? How were you able to have those intense conversations? Because they ended up being intense conversations about business with Donald Trump and Gene Simmons and all that, because I was really the only real entrepreneur in the group. Who are you and how did you get there? And I realized in that moment that so many of us are more interested in women that we can aspire to be than somebody who has a unicorn talent that we don't have. And that's when I realized, oh my God, I have to share this story first with my Latinas who really need to be empowered and to know that you can talk back to someone like that. And it's okay. That's why you're in this country. It's a beautiful thing that we can argue about things and that we can live in a country that allows us all to speak up. So what I wanted to share with you today is kind of the Reader's Digest of my book, which is what I want for all of you is to become self-made. And self-made doesn't mean every single one of you is going to be an entrepreneur, but it means that self-made is a mindset. And the mindset is kind of like DIYing yourself from the inside out and really understanding that you have to find your power. And your power does come from financial independence first. You know, we cannot change the world till we have, like you know, here we say to people in America, follow your bliss and the money will come. That's kind of an entitled first world lie. If you're a girl in Afghanistan and you want to be, you heard Amal Clooney's story today, and you want to be a singer, are you going to grow up to be on American Idol? I don't think so. I think the truth about the lives we live are much harder than the fluff we say about how easy life is going to be. Life is not easy for any one of us. So I want you to know that this is all possible if you think like a self-made woman. And that doesn't mean we all leave our jobs tomorrow. But that does mean that I believe becoming self-made is the new ticking clock. All of us, just like we didn't know 30 years ago we were supposed to exercise and now we all know we have to exercise, you all have to exercise the entrepreneurial muscle. Even if it's an hour a week, you live in a digital age. All you youngins know this and those of us that are older, we've got to use all our kids to help us. Our house is a store of unsold inventory. So we have to start, even if it's selling the quinceañera dress out of our closet, selling those McDonald's toys that our kids don't use, that are the Star Wars toys that are now worth $1,000 each, because we're engaging the entrepreneurial muscle. You're not cheating on your companies. You are bringing, you are working in the shared economy. How can you do your job properly if you're not engaging in what everyone else in the world is doing, in social media, in shared economy, in business? So this is a must. And so let me show you how to do it. What have I learned? I say that if, oh, technology, hold on 1 second. Oh my God, how do I take this thing down? Hold on. I am doing a PowerPoint because I find that I like to see things so I don't forget them. And I'll send any of you this PowerPoint if you want it. Hold on. How do I make this full screen now? Hold on. Help! Millennial, help! There we go. This thing is weird. Just set me up so I can use this.
I will do that.
Thank you. Okay. So if becoming self-made is a race, some of you heard this from me in my workshop, what is the starting point? Is it working? Okay. Any second now. Okay. So the starting point of everything that we have to really tell the truth. You know, if we're talking truth, there is no Prince Charming. Hello. Doesn't exist. And I mean that in such a deep way that I know you guys will understand. That doesn't mean we don't have nice mates. That doesn't mean whatever. But your mate can't be your Prince Charming in a world that no longer allows for a one-income household. They're struggling. Men are struggling. Women are struggling. Your mate, whoever that mate is struggling. We can't turn our boss into Prince Charming. How many times have you waited? You're such a good girl that some boss is going to find you and give you that raise miraculously. Very rare, because they are wanting their boss to see them. And their boss is in trouble too. And these companies are being disrupted. You can't turn your company into your Prince Charming. Do you know how many glamorous companies I've worked for? Fox, HBO, ESPN. The minute I leave, the next person takes the job. I no longer get presents. I no longer get invitations. You, and you youngins know this, but the rest of us, we have to build our own brands in a world where you can. You cannot put all your eggs in the company and the title that you have, that when they're going to lay you off when you're 55. I mean, if you had been in our former thing, they said the statistics are clear. Women get laid off after 50. Or your company will be disrupted. You will be laid off in your lifetime. You better prepare for it. What's the next thing I wish I knew when I was young? The only way to succeed is you have to make fear and failure your best friends. You know, my tape, even I love my tape. I go, wow, that sounds really good. If I showed you my failure tape, we'd all be bawling right now. So I've made 700 shows. There's like 1,500 that never got sold. My company has gone up and down. The only thing that has saved me is that same old boss, the one that I didn't like, I love him now. He said to me, when you make a little money, don't live larger, buy buildings. And I did not live grandiose. I lived beneath my means. I kept a car for 13 years. I didn't live in a grandiose house. I bought commercial buildings. And now my buildings are worth 5 times what my entire television career is worth. It's my buildings that allow me to retire. So you do have to make sacrifices, and you are going to be afraid. I'm afraid every day of my life. People go, oh my God, you're so fearless. I go, are you kidding me? I'm afraid, but I know fear is not a fact. It's like a cloud in an airplane. It passes. So when fear shows up, I go, thank you, show me. Okay, I have to do it. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Because it's not real. And when failure shows up often, because to win 2 or 3 times in your life, which is all that counts, you have to fail thousands and thousands. You have to get really comfortable with failing. It's like an athlete that gets used to falling. I failed in my personal... How many frogs have I dated before I finally found a nice guy? And guess what? People, when they meet him now, they say to me, oh my God, you're so lucky. How did you find him? I go, are you kidding me? I was Prince Charming first. He's lucky he found me. And you know what? What I say is, none of the... Whether it's your mate, your boss, whatever, they can't be the full cake. You have to be the cake, and everybody else is the icing. You can live without the icing. And the cake has to be a constant work in progress. What else do I wish I knew? That to be chosen, you have to choose yourself first. Every day. You know, when I ask women, what is it that you do? Well, I'm doing this, but I kind of like to cook. I go, are you a cook or are you a chef? If you tell me you're a chef, maybe I'll cast you on Master Chef. But if you tell me you're a cook, I don't know what to do with that. Women diminish the way we declare ourselves. Men will tell you that they're doing something that they're going to do 10 years from now. Everything is humility. Well, I don't really, I can't say I do that. I'm not really good at it. That doesn't work. as we can see, it doesn't work. So if you want to really do something, you know, I love the speaker that talked about intention. You not only have to have an intention, you have to declare it. You have to, when you come to these events, stand up, ask a question, say, I'm so-and-so, this is what I do. So other people can find you. Otherwise, why are you showing up? So to be chosen, you have to choose yourself every day. And so this Prince Charming thing, this fear and failure thing, and this chosen thing is a spiritual practice every day. Because let me just tell you, I still go get my hair blow dried at Dry Bar, and I watch the movies playing, and I see the girl running through the airport and the guys coming after, and I still cry. Because it's so in our DNA to think someone will save us. It's so in our DNA that someone will see how great we are. That somehow, you know, if we fail, you know, we have to sweep it under the rug. It's not human, and it's not what really happens. And so every day we have to remind ourselves, okay, fear showed up. No big deal. It's not real. Do it anyway. I failed. Okay, get back on the horse. Get back on the horse. I mean, have we not seen that in this political climate? You keep saying, I'm winning. I'm winning. I'm winning. You win. It's amazing. And you know what? You get back on the horse even if things go bad. Keep going. Don't give up. So it's a spiritual practice. It also has to be said that power is taken, not given. Women have a hard time with this. Nobody's going to come and hand you on a silver platter the answer to your life. You have to want it. You know, this morning I was telling some of the ladies, which we'll talk about later, there's so much money in America for all of us. We talk about, there's no money for women. Yes, there is. There's so much hidden money in America, in the government, in corporations, in it's all in the book, by the way, in nonprofits that give you grants to start your business. We don't hunt it out. What, is somebody going to knock on your door? Here's the money. No. You got to go hunting. Hunting has to be your favorite thing. The money is there. For all of us to start whatever we want, we've got to go apply for it. Your pain, in your pain, is your brand. It's the gateway to your brand. So many people say to me, but you don't know what happened to me. I can't do this because you don't know what happened to me. Oh, well, honey, I can turn any pain in your life into profit. Because we are experts in whatever lessons we've been given. You don't really think those lessons came for no reason. There's a reason for it. You are an expert in that pain. You have to sit and analyze what happened to me and say, what did I not get during that pain that I can fill the hole in the market? Entrepreneurship is not about creating, you know, most entrepreneurs do not create something from scratch. That's the least number, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Most people realize, oh my God, look at Spanx. Can I tell you how many Spanx there were before Spanx? But she said that she found a hole that was there, marketed, did it. I met a woman on the road. I have to share the story because she told me the worst story I've heard about how she was working in a corporation. Her husband was beating her up. She had to put all this makeup on every day to go to the corporation. And one day she finally got the nerve to go to a shelter. And at the shelter, they sent her to this lady who would do massages for people, women with trauma in their body, and it really helped her. And she's like, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to do this. She partnered with that lady. The lady taught her how to do the massage. She had all this corporate information. She knew how to scale a business. She now has 8 massage places, and she's going to franchise. And she's not only taken on women as clients, but veterans coming back from the war, people with trauma. She just wrote a book about it, and she's done a radio show. She found an expertise in her pain and a reason for why what happened to her happened to her. And when you do that, your work is transcendent. You make money and you give back, and you understand what you're doing. So there is no pain anymore that we need to sweep under the rug. We have to go to it, find it, pick it apart, analyze it, and find transcendence in it. What does it mean to have a rich life? Why do I want that for you? Because so many women, especially women in my community, women of color, will say to me, well, you know, rich people, and, you know, we don't like them. And I'm like, you want a rich life? You want a rich family, don't you? You want to be rich in love. You want to be rich in spirituality. We deserve to be rich in abundance, because women, if you look at the statistics, women bring the money home to their families and change their families and their communities. And so we have to aspire to that. And the only way we're going to get to the end of this road is to really have a big vision. So how do we have a rich life? First of all, we have to ground ourselves in what does it mean to have a rich life? How many of us are still worried about survival, paycheck to paycheck? Yeah, most of us. And so I want you to visualize that if you were a self-made woman and had a rich life in every way, what it looks like is you're out of survival mode. I don't worry about if I'm going to pay the bills. And so we want to talk about how you do that. You're going to get to the point at an early age where you work because you want to and not because you have to. So your greatest work will come later in your life, because you'll be free. You'll be able to reward yourself, but you can't reward yourself every day when you're 21. And if you're starting this path now, you have to sacrifice for a while. Because, you know, if you'd rather have a pair of shoes than have something bigger, it's like losing weight. You've got to look at yourself, the before and after, every day, so you don't eat that carb. It's the same thing. We have to think in a bigger way. And you're going to be able to sleep at night. And inside your body, you know, we all talk about empowerment. That sounds really fluffy. What is that? What that feels like is that you're self-reliant and self-made. And you know that if there was a world war tomorrow and you had to go to Russia, you could do it all over again because you know how to do it. You're not a fraud. You know, you've built this house brick by brick by brick. And when you get every, and I can tell you from having done it, you know, I have a very cool house. And when people come to my house and they're like, wow. And they always go to my husband. Like, he bought the house. I go, excuse me, I bought the house. And I paid off the house. Okay? It's my house. So when you know that you did that, there is no greater, you know, I love that the lady that was talking about retirement, she goes, you know, you could have desire for things, desire for clothes, desire for jewelry or these things. She goes, or you could have the happiness that comes from really knowing what you did. You don't need a trophy from the outside world. The trophy's inside of you because you know you did it and that you could do it again and that no one can take away from you what you know you did. So this is what I just said. In order to do it, we have to change our mindset from instant gratification to goal orientation. And so what does that mean? We have to set big goals. And how do we do it? You have to start at the end of your life and work your way backwards. I want you to see yourself as an 85-year-old woman, as a 90-year-old. We're going to live to be 90, I got to tell you. And I want you to think of someone that's 90 that isn't doing so hot and is dependent on other people. You know, I just met Gloria. I don't know if the young, sometimes I meet young women and they don't know who Gloria Steinem is, so I have to say. I saw Gloria Steinem at a White House event. Gloria Steinem is the woman that started the women's movement. And she's 86, I guess, 86 now, something like that, 85, 86. And she was beautiful. And beautiful in a way that is how I want to be beautiful in old age. It's like beautiful because you know you got it, you did it. Not beauty, like just glowed. And there's some, that only comes from doing this work. So I want you to think about, if you're 20, go project yourself to 50. What kind of women, what are the women that you see yourselves, see out there at 50 that you go, I want to be like her. And the ones that you go, wow, she's 50 and she's messed up. She doesn't have a penny. And ask these women, what did they do right and what did they do wrong? I'm now, because I'm in my 50s, I now go to 80-year-old women. And I go, I ask them questions. What would you do over, if you did it all over again, what would you do different? And I got to tell you, most of them say, I wish I had done the money thing better. But in order to get this, you really have to have a picture of what your life will look like as you age. Okay, these were my goals in my early 20s. And I want you to know that I said, I want 2 years of salary saved. Why 2 years? And you're all going to tell me, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I'm going to show you how to do it. Why 2 years of salary? Because you need 1 year to feel like you're not in survival. That, you know, whatever happens, I can handle it. And the other year is, the other year of salary is what you're going to play with and make you money in a way that I'm going to show you how to do. Because if not, it's not going to happen for us. So you're going to tell me, oh my God, how can I save 2 years of salary? Hang on, I'm going to show you how to do it. I wanted to own a house. But when I say own a house, I don't mean own a mortgage. I mean pay off a house. Because until you own the house, you don't own the house. Okay? It could be taken away from you. I wanted to own a building. Because I wanted a building for my company. I own a building. I own many buildings. And they're paid off. I wanted to own a business. I've owned three. I wanted to send or help my kid go to college. Well, I'll tell you something. I never finished school because, like so many immigrants, I was taking care of my parents. So guess what? In 2008, when the economy crashed, I had the money to not have to go to work, and I went back to school because my 8-year-old at the time said, Mom, why do I have to go to college? You didn't finish school, and you've done well. And I go, oh, no. I don't want you to think that. So I went back to school and I got a master's and doctorate in clinical psychology so I can be all your shrinks. I wanted a beach house in my country. Well, Cuba's still communist, so I had to settle for Miami. Not so bad. A retirement account. Today, that class was unbelievable. We have to have a retirement account or we're not valuing ourselves. And I wanted to go back to school, which I did. I just want you to know, I finished this list 10 years ago. I'm on to list number 2, and I plan to have list number 3. If we don't write it down, if we're not clear, and I don't want you to tell me, my goal is to go on vacation this summer. That's not a goal. That's a short-term gratification. I'm not saying you shouldn't go on a trip, but when you're in your 20s, you can go to Europe on $100 a day, and when you're 50, you're going to want to have money. So you can go, but cheap it out. And the goals have to be big. My goals are like 10 times bigger now. Because I realized, well, that was easy. I'm going to do it. Why? Because when you set an intention, when you have it in your house and you write it down and put it up, it's amazing how when you see it and you internalize it, you do it. You know, I say don't buy shoes, buy buildings. It's just another commercial for don't buy shoes, buy buildings. And what I mean by that is not just shoes. It's big goals that require lots of money. Paying off a house, paying off a building, owning multiple buildings. And I'm going to show you why that is super important in a moment. So what is the self-made mindset? Mission and money. Parallel tracks. Not everything we love to do, not everything that's our heart's desire is going to make us money. That's okay. You still have to do the things you love. I'm not telling you not to do the things you love. But parallel track with mission and money. And until you have enough money, you can't fully do your mission. So, you know, if you're spending way too much time saving the world and you haven't saved yourself, that's got to stop. I already said this, you have to think like an owner in every job. So every time, I don't care how crappy you think the job is, you go in there every day and go, this is my business. What's wrong? What's right? What could I be doing better? What are they doing wrong? What would I do if it was my business? You are in training. And what you're going to do is start a side hustle. Every single one of you has to start a business 1 hour a week. Start with eBay, Amazon, Airbnb, Lyft, Uber. Take the things you already have and start selling them. And if you don't know how to do it, put your kids to do it. They'll do it in 10 seconds. Click, it's done. And you're going to go to work all week and you're going to come back. You're going to set it up so Saturday the sale is finished. And you're going to go, oh my God, I made that money. And you're going to put that money away. You're not going to touch that money. That's going to be your pot of gold for all those big goals. This is the big reason I wrote self-made, because that old boss had said something to me that when he said it to me, I'm like, you're speaking a foreign language. I don't know what you're saying. And this is the thing I think most women don't know, that the key to life for all of us to really be self-made is we have to make money while we sleep. No one told us this. Did anybody? I'm sure very few of you have heard this. What does it mean? It means that the money you make and the money you save, whatever that money you make at your office and you save a little bit of it, even in your retirement account, is not going to take you to the end of your life. It's not going to work. You're going to be that viejita that's struggling. So all of you have to be entrepreneurial in one bucket of your life, which is the money you save has to be invested in something that grows. So to give you a real clear picture, if I'm a doctor and I see patients all day long and I think I'm doing really well because I'm making a lot of money as a doctor, even though doctors don't make that much money anymore. If I don't invest my profit into something, what if I break my arm and now my arm's paralyzed? That's it. It's over. So you have got to invest in something that makes you money. And I'm going to show you what are those kind of things. So there are all kinds of ways to become self-made. It's not just leaving your job and saying, I'm leaving my job like a crazy person because you had a fit with your boss and I'm going to start a company and you don't know what you're doing. There are very pragmatic, solid ways to do this. I want you all to know I'm a turtle. I don't do anything fast. I'm not crazy. I'm very measured in my actions. And it's not about completing anything quickly. It's about baby steps every day, doing these little practices every day. The turtle wins the race, ladies. So I don't want you to think you can't do this. So what are the ways today that you can all become entrepreneurial, become self-made without leaving your jobs, without going crazy, without inventing a business? The shared economy, I already said it. Amazon, eBay, selling. I've met more women on the road that have bought houses cash off of eBay, selling clothes in their house and then clothes for their neighbors that are working. I mean, major cash. I met more teachers this last summer, who were driving Lyfts because they were saving up for a business idea. Do you know what? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let me not give it away first. Inventing a company, a product, or a technology company, there are a lot of women here that have done that. That's the hardest possible way to be an entrepreneur. And I find that, once again, women are attracted to climbing a mountain the hardest possible way. We don't have, and I'm me too, by the way. I have to tell myself that all the time. So let me show you some easier ways to do it. Buy a franchise. We forgot. Do you know that there are so many killer franchises in America? Not just food franchise. You know what the number one franchise in America is right now? Tutoring. Because our school system is so bad that the tutoring franchises make so much money. Yoga. So buying a franchise is something you can do while you're working. You go check out a lot of, oh no, I'm running out of time. You're checking out a lot of franchises. You save your money and you invest in a franchise and put your kids to work in it. They love family-owned businesses. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's the best way to. I told my kid, you're buying 10 franchises. If I had to do my life over again, I'd buy 10 franchises. I interview women with 10 franchises and they're loaded, and it's color by numbers. It's like it's your own business, but they have a blueprint, and you have other people that are in it with you. Buy an existing business. We forget that in every neighborhood, we have like old people that have businesses that they've built and their kids don't want them. And they want to sell them before they die. And why would you start from zero when you can buy something with an existing clientele? Duh. So, and those of you that have already done this, that are here, all of you that are young, create a brand online and monetize it. So, becoming self-made has never been easier for all of us. And it doesn't mean we have to invent a business. I have to go quick, guys. This I'm going to have to go through. Okay. You're not going to do this by yourselves. This goes back to me and the Chamber of Commerce. We need a team. We need to cultivate relationships with a banker, with a financial advisor. And by the way, everybody says to me, well, I don't have the money for that. This doesn't cost money to go take meetings with people. And find someone that looks like you. Find a woman that you relate to, maybe from your own culture or whatever, but you've got to have a team of people so that you don't make decisions by yourself that are crazy. Multicultural women, this is for you. Number one consumer in America, multicultural women. If we all bought from each other, we'd all be rich. And if we all supported each other and we understood our power, We can make or break any company. So to understand that, and the rest of you have to know that the number one customer in America is multicultural. So you've got to connect with multicultural women so that whatever business or whatever thing you do, whether you buy a franchise or whatever, the customers are going to be majority multicultural going forward. Be louder and braver. We have got to speak up. My Latinas, we're very quiet. We got to speak up. My Indian American women, we got to speak up. This is not a country of quiet women. We have to help each other. African American sisters, you're loud. I love that. You have to teach us. We all have different gifts, and we have to share them. That's why we have to, like, if we're telling other people to hire women, are we hiring other women in our corporations? Are we really fighting for diversity and for women? Because if we don't bring women in, how are they going to get in? If we think we have to be the only one, that's really insecure. You have to work on your insecurity. So we have to think about that. So remember what I said, become self-made. It's not if, but when. Remember what I told you, there is hidden money in America for all of us. It's in the book, and you can also go on my website, becomingselfmade.com. It's all there for all of you. Sign up, and every month you'll get an alert. And why are we doing this? Because in order to pass the torch to our kids, if we're not the greatest women that we can be, they're going to marry a wimpy woman. Our sons are going to marry a wimpy woman, and our daughters are going to grow up to being not the women that they should be. So if for no other reason, we have to remind ourselves that we are raising to people to be in our example and in our model. And remember that becoming self-made is not, this is not an overnight thing. This is a practice, and it is a lifetime journey of mastery. What I realize, when you really realize there's no Prince Charming, you realize that your journey is about you being Prince Charming and you being the best and highest use of yourself in this lifetime. And it goes like that, young girls, like that. Am I right, ladies? And you realize in the end that that's all you can fix in this life is yourself. And by fixing yourself every day, you change people around you. So I say to all of you, I want to hear all your questions. And I love my Latin word, adelante, because it means let's get off our butts and do it. Adelante. Thank you.
If y'all want to ask Nelly any questions, you're welcome to line up at the microphones. And we have time for just a couple of questions.
And then I'll sign books.
And don't forget, please go to the exhibition hall and get one of her books and have her sign it. I promise you, you will get some very practical advice that will make a difference for every single one of you in here. And so I'll start out with the first question, which is, how do you know when you're ready to take that step?
Okay.
What are the pros and cons of thinking about taking that big risk?
Super easy. This is a math formula, okay? You are not going to leave your day job till your side hustle is making so much money that it's going to cover your nut. And you're not going to do either thing till you have money saved. If you don't have that year or two of salary, like what I would do now is I would get a job. I would try to save like 20% out of my job. And then I would do my side hustle, start 1 hour a week. But trust me, quickly you'll do more because you'll see how easy it is. And I put my kids to work too. I feel like this is a family business thing. Because it's also helping the kids not to be entitled. And all the money I make from the side hustle, I put it away. So I get to my 2 year salary faster. So you have to do one of two things. Either your side hustle is making the same or more than your job, or you have 2 years of salary saved. Whichever comes first, then you're ready to think about jumping. Don't jump before that. You could, but you're kind of crazy. I mean, this is, there's the crazy way to do it and there's the methodical way to do it. I'm giving you a puzzle that if you follow it, it works. The other way, you know, you might have ups and downs that make you want to quit. I don't want you to quit when you do it. There is a formula and it works. My dear friend, yes. Hello. Who's known me for years.
Yvette Mayo from Houston, Texas. So I have a question for you. You've done a lot of amazing things.
She's in my book, by the way.
And you help a lot of amazing women. Is there something that you regret that you didn't do? Is there a business or something you didn't invest in? Is there something that still you wish that you would have just done something about?
Yes, that's a great question, Yvette. By the way, I sent a bunch of people your cards. She does this incredible. Talk about In Her Pain is her brand. She didn't find culturally correct cards, and she made her own company. And I love her cards. I send them to everybody. Yes, a lot of things. I think that I've done a lot. I really think, knowing what I know now, I would have done even more. I would have gotten wealthier, faster, easier. I think I worked hard, not smart, a lot. Because that's why I'm telling you guys, don't jump crazily. I did those crazy jumps and those crazy things, and I bootstrapped. When now I know, there's a really simple path to doing this. I wish I would have bought more franchises. I wish I would have, I think I would have bought more businesses. Because you don't have to do everything yourself. You can hire people to do these things. And then on a personal note, it took me a long time to find my Prince Charming. So I have, I have a kid with husband number one and no kids with husband number two. Because I waited too long to get it all together. I wish I had a daughter. That would be the only other thing. So I'm hoping to have a granddaughter. But yes, I think we all have things. I mean, that's why it's important to be introspective all the time. And every year, I guess the best advice I can give all of you is December 31st, I go, what are the three things I'm doing next year? Not 20 things, not 25 things, three things. And some of them, sometimes one of the three is laser hair removal because it takes a year. Not everything is grandiose. Like, and you, if you do three things a year, and I break it down to three things a month, three things a week, three things a day that get me to those things, I complete what I begin. And that's why I say I'm a turtle. When you tell yourself you have to do 30 things and you put 30 things on the list, you do none and then you feel like a failure and your esteem goes down. I always feel like I'm winning because I only demand of myself three things and I always complete three things. That's a little trick, but it works. We need little successes to help us get through the long distance run to get to big successes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. My question is about taking risk and how do you overcome the fear in order to take that step?
So the first thing you're going to do is you have to take measured risks. So remember what I said, you're not going to just leave your job. You're going to go, when I have this much money put away, because that means you're being responsible in your risk taking. When I have this done, then I can do it, right? But after you do those things, there's nothing, it's not even a risk. Because if you have the money in the bank to pay for you for a year, and you have money in the bank to risk, then you risk it. That's what it's there for, right? I think the reason we get so afraid of risk is because we don't have a game plan. You need a business plan for your life. And it's not that complicated. You don't have to write a 20-page business. It's like, I'm gonna do this. When I do this, I'm gonna do this. Let me not focus on number 3, 4, 5, 6 till I get number one done. Get it done. When you get number one done, then you take a bigger risk. When you do things in baby steps, it doesn't feel that difficult because you're growing with it. You know, I have to say, I hate to keep using losing weight as a metaphor. I went to this doctor. I had gained 32 pounds going back to school. And I went to the doctor and he put me on this like diet. And I go, can I lose the 32 pounds in 2 months? He goes, it took you 4 years to gain the 32 pounds. You're a little person. You can't lose it in a month. And if you lose it in a month, your skin's going to be flabby. He goes, you're going to do this plan exactly the way I'm giving it to you. And in 1 year, you've lost the weight and your skin will retract. It's the same thing. Risk taking is a muscle. If you do things in a measured way with a plan, by the time you take the risk, the skin goes back because you did everything right. You don't have to be crazy. Risk does not mean crazy. It means measured, methodical, and a plan. I hope that helps you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to go home and start a business tonight. So let's hope for my success, and I hope for your success as well. So okay, thank you all so much. Please go check out her book.
Please give me your cards, and you could give them to me downstairs. But if And if you know, even if you don't buy a book, just come up and give me your name, your email, whatever, or give it to me right now so I can put you in my database. But I'm going to have to run downstairs or they'll kill me. So I'm going to speed out of here.